Isaiah chapter 40, that's page 567. 567, and we'll be reading from verse 9 to 31. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult? And who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor is its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them and they wither and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these, who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Well, please do keep that open. Now, the start of a new year can be a strange time, I think. You know, we look back, 2025 has happened. I don't know what it was like for you. Perhaps there are some wonderful moments in it. I don't know, perhaps like a friend's wedding, or a great summer, or a new job, or passing some exams. Perhaps it had those harder times as well, though. Times that you actually wish hadn't happened. Things you'd rather forget. It certainly had both good and bad for me. And then we look forward. We not only look back, we look forward, don't we? And 2026 stretches before us. The unknown sits there. Now, we have no idea, do we, what good or ill might come. When I started 2025, I only had a faint idea of what utter life-transforming moments were coming my way. And right now, it's like a car has pulled up. 2026 has arrived, and we've got to get in, head on into the new year. And perhaps as it begins, perhaps we're just wondering, or you're wondering, is God going to be here in this year too? You know, he's been my help this far. Can I keep relying on him tomorrow? Now, for some of us, that might feel an easy one to answer because of the way this past year has gone. But for others of us, that might feel a much harder question. And so we're turning to Isaiah this morning Isaiah 40, because the future stretched out for God's people too at that point. They sat at the beginning of a new future, a lot like we do. And for God's people, it wasn't 2026, but it was around 700 BC, so it was a bit different. And Isaiah in his book has been laying before them what's to come. And rather than it all being unknown, like it is for us, a lot of the bad stuff they knew about, okay? Because exile was actually on the horizon for them. The Assyrians in one wave, the Babylonians in another. They knew a tough future awaited them. And in their fears, they began to wonder something about God. Just look at verse 27 with me. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. That's what they're thinking. They're just wondering. In other words, as the future stretched out, they began to feel abandoned, left behind, like they're invisible to God. Now, we know how horrible that can feel, don't we? When you've asked someone for help, and I don't know, you've gone to your teacher, you've gone to your boss, your mum or your dad, and they just ignore you. You know, it's like we're hidden from them. Well, that's what some were beginning to feel it was like with God. And I know we can feel the same. We can wonder, if life changes for me, especially for the worse, does that mean God has completely disregarded me? Am I hidden from him? You know, last year's experiences might feel like that for you. And if we're brutally honest, we begin to wonder whether to stick with him again this year. Well, this morning, God wants us, whatever our experience, to see behind the scenes so that we might know why we should stick with God this year, why it's the best thing. And to put it simply, it's this. It's because there's no better rock than God. There is no better rock than God because he's for us. He is for us. As we face this year with all its unknowns, there is simply no better rock than God himself. He's for us. Well, let's see why. So firstly, it's this. God has a good plan. Okay, God has a good plan. As we get into thinking about this coming year, God wants us to see our lives as part of something much bigger, actually. Part of his plan, his story. The story, verse 9, if you just look back at verse 9, it's a story of good news. Perhaps you saw that being repeated. Good news, news that actually needs to be heralded. Heralded from a high mountain. One that needs to be spread, he says, from city to city. This isn't just news about, say, my health this year, or my kids, or my job. However important those things are, this is a message for everyone. And it's a good plan. It's a plan of salvation. Because Isaiah, in the coming chapters, he's going to show them exile. Actually, he's going to show them really bad news. Exile to come under the Babylonians. But he wants, right at the beginning of this little section, to show them there's more. There's more than just exile, there's rescue. Just look at verse 10. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. And behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead them, lead those that are with young. Now, just notice the amazing work of the arm of God. Okay, it's there a couple of times. Firstly, it's an arm of might. Okay, imagine muscles a lot stronger than mine. Okay, an arm of might, a rule of strength, an arm that will bring his people out from the nations, that will level the mountains, raise the valleys, an arm that will rescue his people, save them, bring them home to his promised new creation. That's why we read from Revelation 21. It's a vision for the whole world. It's the big plan. Think of it a bit like a manager taking on a football team in a lower league and saying, we're heading for the Champions League final to win it. That's our goal. We don't want mid-table obscurity. We don't just want promotion. We're heading for glory, for the top. And that's God's good plan. And notice his arm.